When we're thinking about going shopping, we usually know exactly where to buy the goods we need, don't we? So we wouldn't try to buy groceries in a furniture store, unless it happens to be IKEA, I suppose, or ask for fish and chips in the lemongrass restaurant in Horsham. No, this wouldn't make any sense. But where would we go and what would we do to find glory? That's glory in the sense of achieving those things which give our lives real meaning and purpose, which make us the people we were always intended to be. The world thinks that such things as money, fame, athletic skill and good looks are glorious. But our gospel reading on this Passion Sunday teaches that glory is something that Christians find in unlikely places. Real, lasting glory is found in death and in service. Yes, here is Jesus turning the world's ideas upside down again. Just days before his crucifixion, he hears that this group of Greeks wants to meet him, and he immediately sees the significance of their arrival. First, he recognizes publicly that his ministry is spreading and touching the lives of people outside his own Jewish community. And it reminds him that his mission is drawing to a close. He illustrates this with the paradox of the grain of wheat dying in order to bear fruit. And he announces, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." How was it that Jesus would be glorified? He would find glory in a most unlikely way, through his death. Jesus helps us to see that he would fulfill his purpose, find glory in death. "But when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." Glory in death. Yes, we acknowledge death when it happens, but we try not to talk about it. For the most part, we just avoid the topic of death. After all, we live in a culture that mostly wants to be happy, feel good, and avoid difficult realities, don't we? How can Jesus say that death is glorious? The illustration about the seed explains, just as a seed that is buried sprouts and grows into a fruit-bearing tree, so Jesus would come back to life and bear fruit, glorious, eternal life, for all those who believe in him. So his death wasn't a defeat, but an important step in accomplishing his mission. But how can this apply to us? When we understand the glorious nature of Jesus' death, we begin to see how we too can find glory in our death and in the death of every believer. Like the death of Jesus, our death isn't the end, but the beginning of an eternal glory in God's presence. But not everyone who dies will find glory. Jesus made this clear when he went on to say, "The man who loves this life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." What does he mean? I think it means that if we want to find glory, we mustn't look where the world looks, to fame and fortune in this life. No, the world can only give us a fading glory. We have to keep things in perspective. The life we have now is nothing more than a seed and can certainly involve difficulties and suffering. It really isn't that beautiful, nor is it the kind of glorious life that God intended us to have forever. When we make the mistake of thinking that this life is the only one we have, maybe we start to run after things that don't matter. Maybe we think that a better job, a bigger house, or driving the right kind of car will make our lives more glorious. I think Jesus is saying that we mustn't waste our time dressing up this life at the expense of losing our hold on the next one. Die a believer in Jesus and God will raise us up to an eternal life gloriously free from sin and pain. We just need to be like the Greeks of our gospel reading and eagerly seek Jesus every day in his word and in prayer, and seek him here in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. I suspect these Greeks didn't expect to talk or hear about death. They just wanted to see Jesus, and who can blame them? Jesus' reputation had gone before him. He'd cleansed the temple, turned water into wine, healed a little boy, fed 5,000 people, given sight to the blind, and raised Lazarus from the dead. I want to see Jesus, and I bet you do too. We all have our reasons for wanting to see him. But don't we usually want to see him on our own terms? Don't we often want something from him more than we want Jesus himself? I think there's a real danger that we'll become consumers of God's life rather than participants in God's life. We pick and choose what we like and want, but we skip over and leave behind what we don't like, want, or understand. And this includes suffering. Picking and choosing isn't an option, though. Being a Christian means participating fully in the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. On this Passion Sunday, we too, like the Greeks, wish to see Jesus. So we look again at our Christian commitment and calling and see it in terms of the death and resurrection of Jesus, the same terms in which he responded to the arrival of the Greeks. So how do we participate as Jesus would have us do? First of all, if we want to see Jesus, then we must look death and suffering in the face. To the extent that we refuse to acknowledge this reality, to the degree that we avoid or deny death, we refuse to see Jesus. There's a temptation to want to skip over the death and suffering bit and get to the resurrection. So it's no coincidence that this week the church points us towards Holy Week and reminds us that death is the gateway to new life. But death isn't always physical, is it? Sometimes it's spiritual or emotional. We die 1,000 deaths every day. There are deaths of relationships, marriages, hopes, dreams, careers, health, beliefs. We've all been there. But regardless of how things look, this isn't the end. Resurrection is always hidden within death. There can't be any resurrection without a death. So we are called to die to our old life and be born again into a new life where Jesus lives in our hearts and we automatically act as he would act in any given situation. As Jeremiah says, "I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. They will all know me from the least of them to the greatest." In relationship with Jesus, we're offered a unique personal relationship with God himself, with his laws inscribed on our hearts instead of on a stone. But unlike the people of Jeremiah's time, we have a wonderful opportunity to make a fresh start because we have seen Jesus come into the world. I've talked a lot about death, but death isn't the only unlikely place where a believer will find glory. We'll also find glory in service of others in obedience to God's will. Jesus said, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." While the world says that if you have people serving you, then you've arrived, you've found glory, Jesus says, not so. Real glory comes from serving God and one another. Self-giving love glorifies God. Knowing that our purpose in life is to serve God will move us to pray that God's name be glorified in everything we do and experience. Jesus is our example. Although the thought of his approaching death twisted Jesus' stomach into knots, he prayed, "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Father, glorify your name. Is that what we pray when we're faced with difficulty? Don't we rather ask, Father, where are you? Why are you doing this to me? If we are being asked to go through any particular challenge at the moment, we need to pray that God's name might be glorified through it. We can pray that we won't focus on the challenge, but on God's gracious promise not to give us more than we can handle and to be with us always. We can pray that as we work through this challenge, we might serve as an example to others, so that they marvel and ask, how do you do it? How can you stay so calm? And then we'll be able to answer that it's only through God's grace. And in that way, God's name will be glorified. It's a great responsibility to understand that we may be the only glimpse of Jesus that some people will ever have. These Greeks wanted to see Jesus. We as disciples still, though much later, also wish to see Jesus. To see him is more than a passing moment of religious exhilaration, though. It's to perceive his presence at the centre of our lives. A presence we can only realise in terms of his death and resurrection. So as we share in the bread and wine of the Eucharist, may Christ fill us with his presence and his resources for our lives as we dedicate them to his service. On this Passion Sunday, as we open our hands for bread and wine, so may we open our hearts and minds that we see Jesus with us. Amen.